tonight. That ought to be our prayer. God, revive us again. Missions conference could be revival. Amen. Sunday morning could be revival. Amen. We don't have to have a designated time or a special preacher to have revival, but I pray God might revive His people. Amen. If you got your Bibles, turn with us to Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter 11 for our text for today. Amen. Luke chapter 11. I've preached a couple of messages in the pulpit here along the lines of what I'm preaching on the radio about prayer secrets, our Lord teaching us to pray. That's what I'm going to be looking at again this morning and perhaps again tonight. We'll see which way the Lord leads in that. But we're trying to just to obey the Lord and find exactly what He would have us to do. One of the things that on the radio, I don't remember right now, I'd have to look back. I think I'm on number 9 maybe. And what I've preached here so far, I've preached number 1 and number 4. And this would be number 5. And I'm not trying just to do it in order, but just what I feel like, if God gives me a thought that I feel like needs to be conveyed, I try to bring that to you. And hopefully that might be a blessing. This is the text that begins all that in chapter 11, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." I'm going to stop right there with those four verses being read this morning. I'm going to ask Brother Steve Vincent if he would lead us in prayer at this time.
Father, we are thankful once again to be in God's house. Yes. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We pray, God, that you would meet with us here.
Yes, Lord, please.
Pray that you would grant liberty and grace.
Yes.
Lord, for the man of God as he stands, I pray each heart would be open and receptive.
Yes, Lord.
The Word of God. Have your will away in the service, Lord. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. I don't remember if I mentioned it before in looking at this, but that Luke chapter 4 gives what here may be called the Lord's Prayer, but it is a little different than the one that's given in the book of Matthew. And the reason being that it's two different accounts. In the book of Matthew, our Lord's on the mountain with multitudes of listeners. In Luke chapter 11, our Lord's in a, looks like a, just says a certain place, but it looks like it must be a private place. It's a place where our Lord's gone to pray, and His disciples, so it just looks like probably the 12, are gathered with Him, and He gives them this statement. And the one in Matthew, He expands it a little bit more, talks about it a little bit more than He does here in the book of Luke. But He mentions this, this little model prayer. I'll say it over and over again. It's called the Lord's Prayer, but it's not the Lord's Prayer.
Right.
It's a model prayer, our Lord's example of how that we ought to pray. The Lord's Prayer, I believe, is found in John chapter number 17. When He's in the Garden of Gethsemane and He's calling on the Lord. It's mentioned in all the Gospels, but word for word spoken in the book of John chapter number 17 gives us what He said. And so that is His actual prayer that He prays at that time. But nonetheless, having said this, we're dealing with this thought about our Lord teaching us how to pray. We called it prayer secrets. Although these are not secrets, it's just maybe say little nuggets of prayer that can help us in our prayer, that can aid us as we develop a prayer life. But I hope that it will and that it'll bring glory to the Lord. The last one I preached on, I talked about how that we enter into the throne of grace. And it talks about that. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. And I preached on who is on that throne. There's a God, a holy God, a sovereign God sitting upon that throne. Amen. He deserves to be there. We don't. The only way we can get there is because grace. Thank God He's on the throne. We're there because of grace. Amen. And I thank God that that is true. But today I want to preach on the thought, I call it the address of prayer. Who we address our prayer to. Where we send our prayer when that we pray. And our Lord made that very clear here in this. He says in verse number 2, and He said unto them, when ye pray, say, our Father which art in heaven. And I underline that phrase, when ye pray, say, our Father. Now, our Lord, in teaching us this prayer, He's not saying that you repeat this prayer every time you pray. I don't believe that's right. It would become ritual. It would become routine. After a while, it'd just be rot. We'd just be saying it. God does not want us to speak with just foolish ritual and routine, just foolish repetition and rhyme. He wants us to speak from our heart. But our Lord is saying in this that when you pray, address your prayer to your Heavenly Father. Amen. And I'm glad that's so. Now here's a thought that I want to get, and if we can grasp this, it'll be a blessing to us in our life and especially in our prayer life. But we're talking about this one that sits on the throne that is so mighty and so powerful and so high and so holy, and yet we're related to Him. We have a relationship with Him. He's our Father. Amen. Now, I thought about that. I know America does not have kings and queens, but England does. And in England, in Buckingham Palace, there in London, England, there may be little princesses and princes that are running around through the palace, and they see the man coming that is their father. I don't think that they have to address him as king. They can address him as father. Amen. I'm glad our God is our Father and we can address Him in that matter, in that manner. Amen. Three things I want to think about in this address in our prayer. First of all, I want to talk about the introduction into the family. Then I want to talk about the instruction of the Son. And last of all, the implication of the relationship. Now, the introduction into the family, this designated title by which we address our Lord as our Father is one that is only given to a privileged position. Amen. Only given to a privileged position. In other words, only those who are His child, only those who are His children can address Him as Father. Amen. There's a lot of people who want to claim the promises of Scripture. I hear people all the time. People that don't go to church, people that don't know the Lord, don't claim to be Christians. And yet they'll say something like this, well, I know it'll be all right because the Lord promised not to put more on us than we can bear. He didn't promise that to unbelievers. Yeah. Amen. We can say, as the children's song says, every promise in that book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Amen. But the only way we can say that is if we are the children of God. If we've come into relationship with Him as our Heavenly Father. And so this causes me to think on a couple of things on this introduction to the family. First of all, there is what is called the universal fatherhood of God. Now, depending on how you look at that, but how the theologians look upon that, they say everybody is the child of God because God made everything. Well, everybody is the creation of God, but everybody's not in the family of God. Amen. Philosophically, He is the Father of all. We could say the Father of the universe. He made it all. He caused it all. We're here because of Him. Sure, that's right. But He's not our Father unless we have been born into the family of God. And so, not only there's the universal fatherhood of God, but here's what's the truth. There is the individual fatherhood of God, in that God, in the eternal sense, this truth is applicable to those who have been birthed into the family of God. Amen. Turn to 1 John chapter number 3, and I'll show you something. I know that you know this. No, wait a minute. Turn to St. John before I go to 1 John. St. John chapter number 1. And verse number 12. There's where I want to go. St. John chapter number 1 and verse number 12. The Holy Spirit gave John this privilege to write this. He said, but as many as received Him. So that's just certain ones. It's a bunch of them, but it's a limited group. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name. Now the idea there is this.
that there's people there that are not the sons of God. There are people there who were not, but now are. They become the sons of God. Amen. How did we get that power to become the sons of God? Did He give us the ability to work and make our way? No. By the way, that word translated power there, they tell me really means authority or the right. Or the privilege, and here's what, how do you get the authority to be called a child of God? By believing on the Son of God. Amen. How do you get the power? How do you get the right? How do you get the privilege to be called a son of God? It's only because you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I know people say, well, everybody's going to heaven, we're just going different ways. Only problem with that is there's not an ounce of truth in it. Amen. It's just a total lie. Everybody's not going to heaven. Whosoever will may come, but they must come through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Turn to Galatians chapter number 3. Not only John wrote, but Paul wrote about being the children of God. Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 26. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 26. Now he's talking about faith. But he said, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I'll say it again. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And Brother Paul's not speaking to the whole world as being the children of God. Neither is he speaking to everybody in the city of Galatia as being the children of God. But the book of Galatians is written to believers. It's written to the saints in the churches of Galatia. Amen. And so Paul is saying to those that have been saved by the grace of God, now you are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. You see, new birth into the family of God is by the regenerating operation of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He does a work in our heart that we could not do. Amen. Listen, believing on the Lord's not works. Repenting of your sins not works. Calling on God for salvation's not works. If it's works, it's a work of God. Amen. God allows us to recognize our lost condition. God, by the Holy Spirit, woos us and draws us unto Him. And He said, come unto me. Is that works? In one sense, you say it is. No, it's faith. It's believing God. And so we're saved by faith. Thank God, without works. Amen. Amen. We're the children of God by faith. And he's talking, Paul talking there to those that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know exactly how it happens, but I do know that it happens the very moment that you trust Christ as your Savior, the very moment you believe upon Him as who He is, who He said He was, He'll do what He said He'll do, that moment something takes place and you are now a child of the living God. Amen. Gloriously saved, whether you shout it or not. Amen. Eternally saved, whether you know it or not. Amen. Thank God, miraculously saved and added to the family of God. So there we can call Him our Father. Thank God. Not only is there the introduction to the family, but there's the instruction of the Son. Every child is to be taught. Amen. We got in the family of God. We didn't get in as teachers. We got in as students. Amen. God doesn't need our advice. God doesn't need our instruction. And prayer is not us telling God how He ought to do things. Really, prayer is coming to God and getting our will conformable to His will. Amen. That's really what prayer is in this thing of calling on God. But He instructs us, and the instruction of the Son of God. Think about Jesus Christ. As He instructed us, thank God for that instruction. He instructed us, first of all, there's two particular ways. First of all, by His own example. There's 7 times in the Scripture that we see our Lord, the very words our Lord used as He prayed. I want to show you those in the Scripture. Now He's calling on, He's making His prayer to the Most High God. He's praying to the God of heaven and earth. He's praying to the mighty God of Israel. And yet all of these 7 times, He calls Him Father. Look with me in Matthew chapter number 11, and I'll just show you those seven times. We'll run through them real quickly and move right on. Matthew chapter 11. And this is His instruction to us by His example. Matthew 11, verse 25. Matthew 11, verse 25. The Bible says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, look at that phrase, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. He goes on, even so, Father, so it seemed good in Thy sight. All things are delivered unto Me of My Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. So you see this prayer, as he's praying, he's calling God Father. Amen. Now look down in chapter 26. Matthew 26 is where he's praying in that garden, and his words are listed. Matthew 26, verse 39. A couple of them found right here. Matthew 26, verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. You see that phrase, Oh, My Father. Look at verse number 42. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, My Father, if this cup may not pass away from Me, except I drink it, Thy will be done. Amen. So he's saying, Father, look at Luke chapter number 23, and we see it, this is on the cross, a prayer by our Lord on the cross. And he's going to use the phrase, Father. So we've looked at three already, Matthew 2 and chapter 26, 1 and chapter number 19, I believe, or chapter 11, and he calls him his Father. Look at verse number 34 of chapter 23, the book of Luke. Luke 23, 34. And Jesus said, this is the most famous one probably, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Jesus praying in the garden, he called God his Father. Jesus praying in the midst of his disciples, he called God his Father. Jesus on the cross prayed and called God his Father. Look at verse 46 of Luke 23. Verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. Now there's only two more. John chapter number 12 and verse 28. I'm just simply making the point. Our Lord, by example, He told us, say our Father. By example, we've got seven times listed of His prayer, His very words mentioned. And in those prayers, He uses the word Father. John 12, 28. The Bible says, Father, glorify Thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Amen. Amen. Look now at John chapter 17. This is what I believe is the Lord's Prayer. John 17, as He's praying in the garden. These words, verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. Amen. So here's our example. We're to watch our Lord. These disciples had watched Him in Luke 11. They had watched Him as He prayed. They didn't interrupt Him when He prayed, but when He got done, one of the disciples came forward and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And our Lord said, when you pray, say our Father. So when we watch Him pray, we see Him going to the Father and calling Him Father in prayer. The divine Son being so frequently in prayer, praying over and over and over again, and every time He calls on God as His Father. Listen, I'm glad God's not a stranger to us. You may feel like the day's long. You may feel like the night's dark. You may feel like the storm clouds are low hanging over your head. But I'm glad to report to you, God's not a long way off. God's not some kind of a stranger. He's your Father. If you've got a relation with Him, amen, you can call on Him. He'll be as near as a Father, amen. I got to watch Daniel. All of our children have always loved babies. And I believe it's because me and their mama love babies. And they've all loved babies. Somebody told me this a few years back, Brother Steve Laws. I think Brother Bell met him, I believe, at Vision. Brother Steve Laws, pastor of Beacon Baptist Church. Brother Laws is a little bit older than me, and he got grandchildren before I did. He said this to me about grandchildren. He said, Brother Shepherd, what I think is the blessing of grandchildren is that you love them so much, but you love your children so much. And when you see that little baby being a blessing to that one that's your little baby, he said, that's just a special blessing. There's something there. He's right. I remember when they brought that little baby, when Aria was first born, they brought her and laid her in her mama's arms. When I got to see her and I saw Hannah holding that, it tore me up. I'm telling you, I couldn't stand it. I went to crying and carrying on and felt like running, just beyond running and shouting and praising God, because I saw the pleasure in my daughter's eyes at the pleasure in that little granddaughter. It's my granddaughter. Amen. But when I watched Daniel, as I said, it's his first time being a dad, first time holding a little boy, and he's nearly as big as him. Amen. But, When I saw Daniel as he handles him, and pride's not a good word. What's the word I want to say? The pleasure that Daniel had, the happiness that he had there in that little boy. I'm telling you, it did something for me, but it reminded me that's how God deals with me and you, thank God. He's a father and he loves his children. Amen. He wants to do for us, and so we ought to call on him and tell him our troubles. Amen. Our Lord showed us by example, but he also showed us by his express injunction. He told us, expressed to us what we're supposed to do. He said, when you pray, here in Luke 11, verse 2, say, Our Father. Amen. Address God as our Father. Now, it's not wrong to pray to Jesus because Jesus is God. It's not wrong to pray to the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost is God. But really the way prayer is to work, and we see it in the Scripture, the way prayer is to work, prayer is to be addressed to the Father through the Son, or through the Spirit by the Son. Amen. And so we go through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're able to go to the Father, but the Spirit of God makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, and it's all part of the Godhead, but the prayer is addressed to the Father. So the Son of God, I'm talking about Jesus Christ, knows how the sons of God ought to pray and how they ought to address the Father. And he gives us that express command. And he said, when you pray, call on your Father. By the way, that's one of the reasons why I think Catholicism misses the mark so far. Because they want you to talk to those men and call them your Father. Now, first of all, men that have never been married are not supposed to be fathers. Amen. Amen. Our Lord said, don't call men your father. You have one father. Now, that's not saying that it's wrong to call you dad, or even to call him father. But what he's saying is this. Recognize you have a heavenly Father. And when you pray, you're not praying to some man. You're not even praying to some saint. You're not praying to some idol. You're praying to your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Amen. I believe it'll help us if our heart can grasp the fact that we're part of the family. We have access to the throne because that's our Father sitting on the throne. Amen. And lastly, I want to talk about the implication of this relationship. And I want to delve into this just a little bit more. He's our Father. I want you to think about this. The Father has love that wants to do what's best for his children. Amen. Amen. The Father's love wants to do what's best for his children. We understand that natural, human process. Every father wants what's best for his children. Amen. He loves them. He wants to see them accomplish and excel. He wants to see them blessed. But when we expand that to God, it expands the whole equation, to be honest with you, because God loves us much more than our earthly father could ever love us. Amen. God cares about us more than anybody else could ever care, and His love wants what's best for us. Matter of fact, we can trust that He will withhold no good thing to them that walk uprightly, as He said in Psalm 84. Amen. If we're His child, He wants us to have good things. Amen. Therefore, when we come to Him with our request, rest assured that God wants what's best for us. Sometimes we want things and we wonder why God's withholding them. Listen, God wants what's best for us. His love wants what's best for us. But secondly, His wisdom knows what's best for us. Amen. Now there is where some human fathers fail. And maybe we all do it one time or another. In the human realm, we can err because we want what's best for our children. We may not always know what's best for our children. Amen. Sometimes they can ask for something and we're not sure whether it'll help them or hinder them for us to give it to them. Amen. We've been talking in the prayer room, and sometimes when people are given everything, they don't appreciate anything. Amen. Sometimes when it's like feeding the bears. You know, they tell you don't feed the animals at the zoo. Why? Because they get dependent on that. Amen. Well, sometimes children can get dependent if we just give them everything. So as a father, we want what's best for them, but we don't always know. But I'm glad there's a God in heaven that has such love, and yet He has wisdom. His love never overreaches His wisdom. His love never outruns His wisdom. God wants what's best, but He knows what's best. So listen, if you've prayed and it hasn't come yet, realize God does want what's best, but He knows what's best. That might be why that He's not giving it at this time. That when we hear the no, we ought to be able to accept it. God knows what's best. And the third thing, the Father's love wants what's best. The Father's wisdom knows what's best. And the Father's power does what's best for His children. He's our Father. Amen. He's our Father. And He will do what's best for His children. Amen. Sometimes parents are not always good and wise. But we do have a heavenly parent who is always good and wise. Amen. He has the ability. He has the power to do what needs to be done. Thank God. Amen. God's love dictates and His wisdom approves and His power produces. Thank God. Amen. When God says, all right, I want you to have this and it'll be good for you to have this, mark her down, you can have it because God's power can deliver it. Amen. Abraham wanted a child. Sarah wanted a child, but they got old, couldn't have a child. And God's love wanted them to have a child. God's knowledge knew it'd be good for them to have a child. And God said, I can do it even though you're an old man. God said, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And then whatever your need is, if God's love dictates it and God's wisdom approves it, God's power can perform it, thank God. Amen. That's our Father. He can do anything. Amen. I'll tell you this story and I'm going to go to my conclusion. I remember on the school bus as children, I went to public school. That's why I can't hardly read or write. But I'm kidding. I did go to public school. But on the school bus, I remember on one particular occasion hearing these two boys arguing over whose daddy was the biggest and meanest and toughest. And they was telling it, and that story got bigger and bigger. And my daddy can whoop your daddy. Well, yeah, my daddy can whoop your daddy and his daddy. Well, yeah, my daddy can whoop your daddy and his daddy and all his brothers. Well, my daddy can whoop the whole state of Kentucky. Well, my daddy can, it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And I got to thinking about it, you know, those boys, in their mind, they believed that. But I didn't believe it because I knew their daddy. And I know it's a little funny, but here's where it comes. Our Father can do anything. And you can believe it because you know Him. Amen. Our God can do anything. So when we pray, carry your trouble, no matter how big it is, no matter how small it is, carry your trouble to the Father. He's the Father. He wants to hear it. Amen. He's the Father. He's able to handle it. Thank God. Amen. Now, here's some precious things I believe that lie in this fact that God is our Father. Our prayers ought to be colored with the fact. Our prayers ought to be characterized by the fact that we're carrying our burdens to the one we love. When we pray and we say, "Our Father," amen, realize that this is a prayer secret because we are members of the family. Amen. We are members of the family of God. We're not just some lone individual. We're not just some orphan out there somewhere. We belong to the family, thank God. Amen. But we're not the sole member of the family. There's others as well. And our Lord taught us when we pray, say, "Give us our daily bread." Forgive us. It talks about the whole group together. And matter of fact, I'll turn back to Luke. I'll finish up with Luke 11. I'll just finish with this, the text as it's in the Scripture. We're members of the family, but we're not sole members of the family. Dealing with prayer, our Lord tells us we've got to be careful how we deal with others, aren't we? We'll look at verse 2. And He said, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth.'" Here it is. "Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil." Sometimes in families, there's squabbles. Isn't that right? Sometimes in siblings, they love each other. They love each other to death. Amen. I was preaching at New Light in Miller's Creek a couple weeks ago now. Well, it was on that Wednesday, first Wednesday we was gone. And I wasn't scheduled. It was just an impromptu thing that he called, found out I was there, and asked me if we could have come. And I went. My brother was there, and I was preaching about Jacob fleeing from Esau and dealing with that Jacob's ladder and that part of prayer that I talked about earlier in another message here. But as dealing with Jacob's fleeing from Esau, Esau wanted to kill Jacob. My brother was out there. I said, "Listen, when me and Barry got in a fight, when I said I wanted to kill him, I didn't really mean it." And I said to him, I said, "You didn't really mean it either, did you?" And he said, "Not every time." That's what he said was his answer. Amen. But sometimes in a spiritual family, we're not all that spiritual. Sometimes in a church family, in a spiritual family, although we're members of the family, we're all going to God in prayer, but we've got to remember we're not the sole member. And if we have sinned against another member, or we've got an ought against another member, or somewhere there's some kind of conflict between the members, it can affect our prayer. And so our Lord said, "You got to forgive them, and they got to forgive you, and we got to work this thing out." Isn't that what the Bible said? In the book of Matthew, He says, when you come to the altar with your gift, leave your gift. You remember your brother got an altar against you. Leave your gift there and go to him. Make that thing right. Then come and give your gift. My point is this. We're going to our Father because we're part of the family. But He wants us to get along with the rest of the family. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, thank You for the privilege to be in the house of God again this morning. Thank You for the teaching and instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ on prayer. And You've instructed us today on prayer. Father, help us to be that member of the family of God we ought to be. Help us, Lord, to love the other members of the family of God. But help us that when we come with our troubles to realize we're not talking to a stranger. We're not orphans. You're our Father. We have a relationship. And because of that, we can trust You. Help us, Lord, to remember Your love. But help us also remember Your wisdom. That if we don't get what we've asked for, to remember that Your love wants what's best, but Your wisdom knows what's best. Then, Lord, help us when we have a problem that seems so big we wonder if it can even be accomplished. Help us remember that Your power is able to do whatever's needed. Lord, I pray work in this congregation according to Thy will. Bring sinners to Christ. Help saints to pray and trust You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. While we sing, if you need to come, obey the Lord and do what He says do.
163.
Obey the Lord.